Welcome to Stories After Midnight. The story we're reading today is The Procedure by Jarrett. You may be familiar with this story. It has been rewritten and improved since the last version. So we're going to read it again. And I hope you enjoy this story. And let me know if you do in the comments wherever you are. Let's get started. Jenny Wilson had always been a hypochondriac. So, when she started getting unexplained headaches, she immediately booked an urgent care visit. She spent days compulsively Googling symptoms, each search result more damning than the last. A glioblastoma the size of a grapefruit, a malformed artery in her brain on the verge of bursting, a slow, undetected hemorrhage that had been missed altogether. When the appointment finally arrived, the doctor told her it was indeed normal for a healthy woman in her 30s to get headaches. He explained that she had presented no symptoms that would point to a serious neurological condition. Unconvinced, Jenny pestered him until he scheduled her for an MRI. The next few weeks were a merry-go-round of spiraling thoughts and restless nights. After a month of worry, Jenny finally arrived at St. John's General Hospital for answers. It was one of those sprawling urban complexes that seemed designed to disorient, hallways that led nowhere, wings added in mismatched decades, arrows pointing in directions that made navigation impossible. On the verge of being late, she finally found the right office. A receptionist sat behind an administrative desk. She didn't have a computer. Instead, stacks of paper lay strewn in chaotic piles across the counter. Jenny swallowed. It looked so disorganized for a hospital. Tapping her foot anxiously, she checked in, handed over her insurance card. She always hid her out-of-pocket max for the year by late January and lowered herself into one of the plush waiting room chairs. She sat alone in the room, arms folded, legs crossed, purse clenched in her lap. After a 10-minute wait, a door opened to her left and a masked nurse stepped through. Her sky-blue scrubs were covered with dark bloodstains that freckled the fabric in uneven smears. Not fresh blood, more like dried watercolor on canvas, but wrong all the same. The nurse met Jenny's gaze behind her surgical mask, but didn't say a word. She strolled past Jenny to the desk, leaned towards the receptionist, and whispered something in hushed tones. The nurse turned her head slowly, stared directly at Jenny, then turned back, whispering some more as if they were devising a plan Jenny wasn't privy to. After a moment, the nurse straightened, turned, and abruptly left through the same door. Jenny felt her heart racing a million miles a minute. What was wrong? What was happening? Moments later, the receptionist looked up and said, "Jenny Wilson?" Jenny swallowed. The lump in her throat rose slowly. Still the only patient, she sidled up to the desk. "Yes? There has been an unfortunate malfunction with our MRI imager." "Oh, malfunction? What kind?" The receptionist shrugged insouciantly and shuffled around some papers. "A serious one. We could reschedule you, but the waiting list is 2 months." Jenny's brow furrowed in confusion. "Well, wouldn't I go to the top of the list?" "No," the receptionist's ponytail whipped back and forth as she shook her head. "That's not how our waiting lists operate. All of our other clinic locations are booked as well, I'm afraid." Jenny's tone sharpened. "But I've already waited a month." The receptionist held up a hand, showing chipped nail polish. "There is an alternative, ma'am." "And what would that be?" "A cerebral angiogram." The receptionist said it like Jenny was supposed to know what it was. Jenny tilted her head to the side. "What's that?" "It's a simple procedure." Jenny waited for a follow-up that never came. Just a blank stare. "Okay, but what is it?" "It's a medical procedure that takes images inside of your brain. Looking here, your insurance fully covers it."
"And you can do this now?"
"Yes, ma'am. Shall I tell them you're ready?" Jenny twirled a lock of hair contemplatively.
"Yeah, sure. I guess so."
"Great. Just sign this form." A consent form with the hospital's logo as a header was handed to her. She frowned and pointed at it.
What's this?
Oh.
The receptionist gave a clipped chuckle.
Just some legal jargon. You know how it is.
With a shrug, Jenny snagged a pen from a mug station on the desk and scrawled her signature on the bottom line without reading the form. A mistake.
Great, you're all set,
the receptionist said, snatching the form away where it disappeared amongst the piles scattered on the desk.
Wait, I have a question about that nurse.
Nurse? Which nurse?
The one in blue. The one you were just speaking with.
Oh, yes, her. What about? Jenny leaned in close.
Why was she covered in blood?
The receptionist looked at Jenny like she'd grown a second head.
Blood? What do you mean, blood? Her scrub top. It was splattered with red stains.
Jenny mimicked the effect on her own shirt.
That would be incredibly unsanitary. None of our medical personnel would ever wear soiled clothing, especially in a hospital setting.
I know, but...
Jenny bit the inside of her cheek.
I swear to God, she was, like, bloody. Does that sound crazy?
The receptionist gave a tolerant smile.
Listen, I know that this is scary, and we want to make it easier for you to adjust. Do you want to come back at a later time?
Jenny felt insulted.
No, I just want to know why your nurse, like she just came out of surgery.
The receptionist's smile tightened. Ma'am, no one here is coming out of surgery. This is radiology. We don't do surgery in this wing. Jenny opened her mouth to speak, then quickly shut it.
I think you might have misinterpreted what you saw,
the receptionist went on.
Medical dyes, maybe.
No, that wasn't dye, that was blood. I know what blood looks like.
A pause. Then the receptionist sighed like an elementary teacher explaining simple addition for the 100th time.
Look, Miss Wilson, would you like to speak with someone else?
We could have a mental health expert come down if this is interfering with your comfort.
Comfort?
Jenny scoffed.
You think that's what this is about?
The receptionist lowered her voice.
I'm trying to help you, ma'am. But you're not in the right state of mind for the procedure. It's better if we delay.
There it was. The patronizing. The implication. Jenny scoffed again.
I'm not crazy.
I don't think you are.
You're saying it without saying it.
I'm saying... The receptionist treaded carefully. That you sign the form, and the nurse will be out momentarily to escort you back. Either that, or... The door to the hallway swung open as if on cue. The nurse stood in the threshold, wearing the same color scrubs and the same mask, yet the red stains were gone. Or perhaps they had never been there. Jenny stared. Her mind scrambled for an explanation. Had she imagined it?
Jenny?
The nurse asked. A beat.
Yes? I can take you back if you're ready.
Don't worry, the receptionist cooed. It'll be over before you know it. The resulting smile, a broad, sweeping crack that reached up to her eyes, was laced with sinister delight. Jenny felt the pit in her stomach drop through the floor as she followed the nurse down the hallway on shaky knees. Free of conversation, they traversed the desolate, tight gray hallway till he reached one of the many general examination rooms. It was a tight, confined space that caused Jenny's claustrophobia to flare.
Have a seat, the nurse said, gesturing towards the exam bed.
Jenny climbed up and perched herself at the edge. The thin paper lining crinkled sharply beneath her as the nurse turned her back and began rummaging through one of the white cabinets, the contents clicking softly.
Since we are doing an angiogram, she said, retrieving a needle and green rubber tourniquet. I'm going to need a blood sample.
Oh, why?
Jenny felt her anxiety spike. She hated needles.
Because?
The nurse said as she checked Jenny's blood pressure and listened to her heart with a stethoscope. All things a nurse would do.
Blood pressure is 130 over 90,
she said, removing the inflated cuff from Jenny's arm.
Is that high?
Yes. Are you feeling nervous about the procedure?
Yeah, I came in expecting an MRI, but now I'm undergoing this other thing, and angio something. I don't know what exactly.
Give me your arm, please,
the nurse said bluntly. Jenny straightened it as the nurse secured the green rubber tourniquet just above the crook of the elbow. A latex glove finger flicked the vein as Jenny averted her gaze.
Okay, strong pinch in 3, 2, 1.
A burst of pressure shot through her forearm as metal broke skin. The needle seemed to burrow into the tissue like a worm through dirt.
She tried to breathe evenly, but a cold flood of nausea moistened the back of her throat. The vice-like tourniquet clamped around her bicep made her arm throb in rhythm with her heartbeat. Jenny chanced to peek. Thick crimson curled through the tube like paint and water, slow and viscous. "How much are you drawing?" she asked, her voice unsteady as the vial filled to near capacity. The nurse didn't answer. Jenny's fingers began to tingle as the nurse finally slid the needle free. A sharp stab of pain lanced through her arm as blood welled up instantly around the punctured wound, dark and wet. "Apply pressure," the nurse commanded, handing over a fresh white sheet of gauze. Jenny obeyed, feeling blood soak through the fabric in her coat and her finger pads. After a moment, the nurse returned with a small circular bandage, placed it over the leaking wound, then snatched the gauze and blood sample. "Wait here. I'll return with your test results." With that, the nurse tossed the gauze in the garbage can and promptly exited the room, letting the door close behind her. Jenny found this odd. Any blood test she had ever gotten took days to weeks to receive results. Perturbed, she reached into her purse, withdrew her phone, and searched for the procedure on Google. To her dismay, she couldn't quite ascertain the spelling. She tried multiple iterations, hoping the search bar would jog her memory. Nothing. Every autocorrect suggestion only made it stranger. Cerebral embolism, cerebral atrophy, cerebral anoxia. None of it matched what she heard. The door swung back open as the nurse burst into the room. "Blood test came back normal. I assume Dr. Bergman, our head radiologist, went through the procedure and any side effects you may have answered your questions?" "No, I was alone the entire time." "Oh, well, that's unfortunate. He was probably seeing another patient." "Probably? Shouldn't you know?" Jenny thought. "In the meantime, I'll need you to change into a hospital gown." Reluctantly, Jenny rose from the bed and followed the nurse back out into the hall. As they rounded a bend, a woman passed by them on the left. She was around Jenny's age and wore a plaid leisure suit and muted browns and oranges. The blazer had wide padded shoulders and the shirt collar flared out across them dramatically, like something from an old Sears catalog. The shiny leather platforms completed the picture. It was then Jenny picked up on the wallpaper, somewhere along the walk, without her noticing right away. The flat institutional gray had given way to a floral wallpaper, pale pinks and muted reds, little roses blooming across the corridor in neat repeating rows. Faint seams ran between the strips. "Here's the changing room," the nurse said as they approached a side room, each step full of trepidation. Jenny entered, changed into the required gown, then met the nurse outside. "Follow me." They started walking again, yet this time Jenny spoke up. "Wait, I still haven't talked to any doctors yet." The nurse's ears perked, but she remained silent. Jenny went on. "I have some concerns." Just then, the pair turned the corner and stepped into the procedure room. Jenny lingered by the doorway, unable to push through the threshold. Nothing immediately stood out to her, yet the longer she looked, the more disturbed she became. Everything looked old. The overhead lighting flickered a dim yellow hue across the room. Massive mechanical arms hung from the ceiling like the skeletal remains of some industrial machine. A steel gurney rested in the center of the room, where a gaggle of nurses awaited, preparing various instruments. Jenny caught the sight of leather straps hanging limply from the gurney. Her bladder clenched. Just then, a masked man in blue surgical robes approached her.
"Hello, I'm Dr. Bergman. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to see you earlier. I was preoccupied with another patient. Please, go lie down on that operating table and we'll get started."
Jenny's chest tightened. "Wait, I have questions."
"Such as?" the doctor asked impatiently.
"What goes on during this procedure?"
"It's a cerebral angiogram. It's used to detect any abnormalities in the brain or its blood supply."
Jenny clenched her fists in frustration. "I didn't ask what it does. I asked what it's like. What happens during it? What are all these instruments for?"
"It involves a minimally invasive puncture wound. Nothing too serious."
"Like a blood draw?"
She pointed to her bandaged inner arm. The doctor laughed oddly. "Not exactly." That was it. Jenny had reached her limit of verbal hot potato.
"I'm leaving," she announced. She turned to go, but two of the nurses shut the door behind her. "Hey, what are you doing?" she shouted. She turned back to Dr. Bergman.
What's going on here? Let me leave.
Her heart threatened to explode from stress. Patient is being belligerent. Strap her down, Dr. Bergman hollered. Nurses on either side immediately grabbed Jenny underneath her arms. She bucked and kicked and retched, trying to break free.
Let go of me! Let go of me!
More nurses joined the circle. One bent and restrained Jenny's ankles. The rubbery latex gloves were harsh on her exposed skin. The team of nurses heaved the thrashing Jenny off the ground and carried her across the room. The sea of hands kept Jenny's crazed form still as they plopped her down and began strapping her to the gurney. Gloved hands secured buckled leather straps across her wrists and ankles, legs and arms, waist and chest. Finally, a wide strap was pulled taut across the top of her head and secured tightly. Laying supine, she was completely immobilized. Only able to move her eyes, she watched with growing dread as masked people scuffled about the room. Suddenly, the lights in the room brightened, burning into Jenny's retinas. An IV was strung on a hook as a long needle was slid into her arm, alongside the original bandage. The bag read, saline flush. No anesthesia? They weren't going to operate on her like this, were they? Jenny heard metal casters screech as Dr. Bergman wheeled over on a stool. What he held in his hand made Jenny lose control of her bladder. A 4-inch needle. A clear rubber tube ran from the base. Jenny put two and two together. They were injecting contrast dye into her brain through the carotid artery in her neck. The realization made her howl. Dr. Bergman replied calmly, "This room is soundproof. There will be quite an unpleasant pinch. Do not move. Keep very still, and whatever you do, do not swallow. It will tear your carotid artery and you will bleed to death." After her screams grew ragged and breathless, Dr. Bergman dipped the needle downwards. Jenny braced herself. She felt the needle tip press against her skin as it hunkered back reflexively. The cool metal pressed harder and harder against the outermost layer of skin, the pressure becoming unbearable, then broke the surface. Pain exploded through Jenny's neck as blood spurted a fine line from out of the newly made puncture. Jenny's mouth contorted into a silent scream as the crimson geyser splattered across her face in warm red droplets. She felt the needle move, rotate around, then find her artery. Indescribable pain as the tip prodded its way to the rubbery tube of flesh, then pierced it. Blood ran up her nasal cavity and down her throat to her mouth. The taste of warm, metallic copper made her gag. Through eyes blurred with tears, she saw blue ink begin to run through this line, her vision darkening around the edges. Her brain lost its tether to reality. Blackness consumed her. Jenny awoke in a recovery room, not sure of where she was. She tried to lift her head up off the pillow, but searing pain lanced through her neck.
"Oh good, finally awake,"
a voice called. A nurse appeared overhead. Jenny pawed at her neck. Nothing. No bandage, no puncture wound. She rasped.
Where am I?
The nurse smiled.
The bay wing of Madison Canyon Medical Center. How are you feeling?
No, that can't be right, Jenny groaned. I thought I was at St. John's.
Give it some time.
The nurse smiled sympathetically.
You just had quite the scare.
Scare? What are you talking about?
You went in for an MRI, but once you were shuffled in the tube, you started having a panic attack.
No, it wasn't an MRI.
Yes, it was. It was an angiogram.
I'm sorry, what did you say? The nurse leaned in close.
An angiogram. They shoved a needle into my throat.
I'm sorry, but that's impossible.
Why?
Ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, but this hospital hasn't done a procedure like that since the mid-1970s.
That's the end of the story. If you enjoyed this rather cryptic and mysterious story, let me know. If you'd like to support this channel even more, well, you can do so by liking this episode and podcast and maybe leaving a comment letting me know what you thought. If you'd like to do more and join our other patrons, spoiler alert, there's a Patreon available. Well, I appreciate you for listening. Hope you enjoyed yourself here. Take care now. Bye-bye then.